Pray this prayer with me. Heavenly Father, speak to my heart. Give me revelation and understanding that I would never be the same. That you would be glorified. Come, Holy Spirit. Do it again. I ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Be seated in the house of God. If you have a Bible, would you open it to the book of Numbers? Last Sunday night, as gently and as lovingly as I could, I brought a message of repentance about mold and mildew on the walls of our hearts and our lives. It was a hard message. And as best as us Kiwis can, because we kind of have a tendency to say things as they are. Do you know there's at least seven, hands up the New Zealanders in here. There's seven of us. That's a takeover. That's gone beyond an infiltration. There's seven of us in here. That's a takeover. You're in trouble. And tonight I want to follow through further from what I shared last Sunday night. Tonight's message is centered around a text in Joshua chapter 10, and we will go there, so if you want to find Joshua 10, that would be good. And in chapter 10, verse 24, you will read, he says, come near, this is Joshua, he says, come near and put your feet upon the necks of these kings. And they came near and they put their feet upon the necks of them. And tonight I want to share around that. You see, there's no figure, no symbol of victory that could be more impressive than that call from Joshua to the captains of his armies to come and shove their feet on the neck of five Amorite kings. And so it is that I believe that God calls on you, his people, to rise up to triumph gloriously over your spiritual enemies and to take up hold of God's promises. In Romans 16, verse 20, the Bible says, the God of peace shall bruise Satan under your feet shortly. What a great promise. And so let's have a look and lay a bit of a groundwork before we get to Joshua chapter 10 and look at Numbers chapter 13. Verse 1, and the Lord said to Moses, send some men to explore the land of Canaan, which I am giving to the Israelites. From each ancestral tribe, send one of its leaders. In verse 3 of Numbers chapter 13, it says, so at the Lord's command, Moses sent them out from the desert of Paran. All of them were leaders of the Israelites. And then it names a whole lot of folk. It's interesting to note that it was the leaders who went out, not the rank and file, not the ordinary citizens of the tribes, but in fact they were tribe leaders. They were leaders that were sent out. And there was a clear mandate from Moses what to do. They were not asked to form an opinion. They were already promised the land. Their destiny was clear. They were to move in together. The land, the harvest was theirs to have. And yet if you follow the story on, you read, and you know it well, many of you, that only two of the 12 that went out kept it in their sight, kept God's promises in their sight. It is a story of contrasts, a contrast between faith and unbelief. It's a story of people who looked and focused upon the challenges and they missed out. They argued amongst themselves. They even, when you read the story there, as you follow it through, that they even thought and mentioned and talked about going back to Egypt. And they missed their opportunity to receive what had been prophesied, what had been promised, except Joshua and Caleb. The Bible records that they had a different spirit. They acknowledged the problems that were before them, but they held on to the promises of God that the lamb was theirs to have because God said. And so it is, I believe, with this nation and this city and with you. It has been prophesied. God has said that he is going to do something in this city, in this nation, in this land. It has been prophesied and spoken that God is going to pour out his spirit on London and on England, and then that this city is going to be a light unto the nation, and this nation is going to be a light unto the world. I have a prophecy here from Wendy Alec, who her and her husband started up and run the God Channel on TV, the TV God Channel. It's a prophetic word that God gave Wendy Alec on July the 6th. Many of you would have read it. When you look at this prophecy, now this is God giving a word to this nation. It is incredible. It says that the days of glory planned for Great Britain far surpass the days of judgment. She says in part, I have no intentions reading all of this, but she says, God says in part, for the Lord has spoken, and that the word that he spoke is strong and clear, and sets the devil and his demons trembling. For the Lord says, the days of glory that God has planned for Great Britain far surpass the days of judgment. The days of glory, the days of power, the days of outpouring will far surpass the days of judgment upon this nation. That there are many, many mighty things that the Lord wishes and longs to do in this nation. That God has planned from the beginning of time a major destiny and future in himself for the nation of Great Britain. And that the devil is fiercely seeking to nullify and to destroy in these very days and in this nation, in this season. It goes on to talk about that there shall be a season of visitation. God talks through this prophet, says that he shall pour his spirit upon the homes of this nation, upon the government even, boy is that needed, upon the decision makers. It talks about there will be a multiplying of evil, there will be great exposure, however, of wicked strategies and plans. They are going to be laid bare. That God says that his servants shall rise, that the servants of God are going to rise in the police force. Isn't that awesome, Rob? This is a word from God saying that he's going to raise up godly, powerful people in the police force, in the intelligence services, and in the hidden corridors of power. God says, for there shall rise upon this nation a divine mantle of protection. God said, Great Britain, you abandoned me for a season, but I have never abandoned you. Who? I love it. And so we have a promise of God for this nation. And it's just now a matter of you taking up that and running with it for all it's worth with expectation. And what's happening here is a part of that. Don't make the mistake that the nation of Israel made where they took their eyes off the promises of God, looked at the challenges ahead and missed out except for Joshua and Caleb. And what happens, and you know it well, that they end up wandering the desert for 40 years until a new generation was ready to enter Canaan. We read as you follow through and from Numbers here, as you read on through towards Joshua, that Israel end up camped along the east bank of the River Jordan at the very edge of the promised land, and they've just completed a mourning period for Moses, who has died. God has prepared both Joshua and the nation by teaching them of the importance of having courageous and constant faith. That's a lesson for us as well. God has begun to do something, grab a hold of it, don't lose sight of it, and expect more. We know from reading scripture, for 39 years earlier, after spending a year at Mount Sinai, where they received God's law off the mount, that the Israelites had an opportunity to enter the promised land, and they failed to trust God to give them victory. And as a result, we read that God does not allow them to enter the promised land. He makes them wander into the desert until the disobedient generation has died. During the desert wanderings, the Israelites learned to obey God's laws. They also taught a new generation to obey God's laws so that they might enter the promised land called Canaan. And as the children grew up, they were often reminded that faith and obedience to God brought victory, while unbelief and disobedience brought tragedy. We know that the nation of Israel miraculously crosses the River Jordan to begin their long-awaited conquest of the promised land. And so we have now the story concerning Joshua. I want you to come now, if you will, to Joshua chapter 10. A whole generation passes away. Joshua and Caleb are the only ones that are going in. And they've gone into the land. And what has happened is there's been a huge battle at a place called Gilgal. At this place, Joshua actually gets the sun to stand still, the Bible says, for about a day, so they can win a battle. We have here where they've conquered Jericho, they've conquered Ai, they now have this huge battle at Gilgal, and now we come to Joshua chapter 10, reading from verse 15. It says, "Then Joshua turned with all Israel to the camp at Gilgal. Now the five kings had fled and had hidden in the cave at Makhekta. When Joshua was told that the five kings had been found hiding in the cave at Makhekta, he said, 'Roll large rocks up to the mouth of the cave and post some men there to guard it.'" I'm at verse 19 of Joshua chapter 10. "But don't stop. Pursue your enemies. Attack them from the rear and don't let them reach their cities, for the Lord your God has given them into your hand." And so Joshua and the Israelites destroyed them completely, almost to a man. But the few who were left reached their fortified cities. The whole army then returned safely to Joshua in the camp of Makhekta. And no one uttered a word against the Israelites. And Joshua said, "Open the mouth of the cave and bring those five kings out to me." And so they brought the five kings out of the cave, the king of Jerusalem, of Hebron, of Jarmuth, of Lachish, and Eglon. And when they had brought these kings to Joshua, he summoned all the men of Israel and said to the army commanders who had come with him, "Come here and put your feet on the necks of these kings." And so they came forward and placed their feet on their necks. Then Joshua said to them, "Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. Be strong and courageous. This is what the Lord will do to all the enemies you're going to fight." Then Joshua struck and killed the kings and hung them on five trees, and they were left hanging on the trees until evening. At sunset, Joshua gave the order and they took them down from the trees and threw them into the cave where they had been hiding. At the mouth of the cave, they placed a large rocks, which are there to this day. And that day, Joshua took Makhekta. He put the city and its king to the sword and totally destroyed everyone in it. He left no survivors. And he did to the king of Makhekta as he had done to the king of Jericho. Why would Joshua do such a thing? Did he think he had some sort of perverted sense of viciousness or revenge? Perhaps he wanted to have a bit of fun at the expense of these five kings, these captives. No, it wasn't. This move that he does with these kings has a strong symbolic meaning. For he says to his captains, "Thus the Lord shall do to your enemies." The Bible tells us that these kings are then slain and the bodies are then hung until evening from trees. Then the bodies are buried in the cave, the very cave where they had hidden. And there are some lessons in this for us. The first lesson is this. It's worth noting that it was not until after the battle in which these kings were defeated that this amazing scene takes place. It was the aftermath of victory. It was the aftermath of breakthrough. They had victory, they had breakthrough, and then we have this striking scene where these kings are brought out and the captains are told, put your feet on their necks. And then he slaughters them. They'd entered the land, they'd fought the battles, now they're dealing with the last few of their kings. And this, it is a type of our triumph. We enter by faith into victory that has been won for us by our Joshua. Who is that? The Lord Jesus Christ. And just as Joshua and the armies of Israel dealt with these kings after the breakthrough, so it is with you. You've had breakthrough. You've gone from 10 days to become 50. You've had from a healing mission to it's become a river of his presence. A desire to touch heaven has resulted in an outpouring of his presence. Many have been saved, as I said earlier. Many have been healed. Many have been touched. Many of you changed. You'll never be the same. Now is the time to deal with some kings. Now is the time tonight to put your feet on some enemies, things that you have troubled with. So the first point is worth noting that often dealing with these strong men, these kings, is after breakthrough. And I put it to you, you've had breakthrough. You've moved beyond just a 10-day mission. You've had victory. You've moved into something new. Now is the time, like it was here, to put your feet on the neck of the enemy. Second lesson is this, that our enemies are beaten enemies. Our three great foes, our three great enemies, we had to characterize them would be the world, the flesh, and of course the devil and his henchmen. The first enemy, the world. Jesus said this, "Fear not, I have overcome the world," in John 16, verse 33. And of us, he says this, "This is a victory that hath overcome the world, even our faith." In 1 John 5, verse 4, "Who is he that overcomes the world but he that believes that Jesus is the Son of God?" The world has been defeated. Jesus has overcome the world. He has begun to do something. Grasp it and run with it. Second enemy, the flesh. In Romans 6, verse 6, it says, "Our old man is crucified with him." In Galatians 5, verse 24, "They that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the afflictions and lusts." The flesh has been overcome. The third great enemy, if you like, is the devil. And the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 2, verse 14, "By Christ's death, he destroyed the one who holds the power of death, that is, the devil." In 1 John chapter 2, he writes to us, he says, "I have written to you because you have overcome the wicked one." So we can see, and I can elaborate this in great depth, but I won't, but that our foes, our enemy, have already been beaten by our Joshua, by Jesus. And we can, by faith, enter into the victory, putting our feet on the necks of kings in our lives. We have the victory. It's been won for us by Jesus on the cross. The enemy has been beaten. And your kings, these areas, it just might be a health issue. It might be just simply a sin, a habit that you struggle with. It may be hurts and attitudes. It may be the things of the past. But I tell you tonight, we're going to put our feet on the neck of a few of these kings. The next point I want to raise to you, I want you to be aware of, is that Joshua says, "Thus shall the Lord do to all your enemies." What a great, awesome assurance and promise that is. In Romans 6, verse 14, it says, we read, "Sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under the law, but under grace." Joshua says to his captains, "Fear not, nor be discouraged. Be strong, be of good courage." You see, fear And discouragement can mean defeat. For as the victory is given to faith, so it must be maintained by faith. Peter walked on water till he feared, he looked at the waves, and ended up doing breaststroke. Do you fear what lies ahead? Are you troubled? Do you have doubts? Tonight, we're going to put our feet on the neck of some of these things. Some of you have big decisions to make over the next little while, decisions that will affect your future. And I know in my heart that many of you are just, well, there is a fear, there is a concern about just the ramifications of the decisions you must make. I want to say to you tonight, that sort of fear will hold you back. We need to put our feet on the neck of those things. There are habits that some of you have, and you have come up for 49 nights. Tonight, we're going to put our feet on the neck of some of these things. Some of you have struggled with depression for years. You've come up multiple times. Tonight, we're going to put our feet on the neck of these kings. Tonight is a night of dealing with some stubborn kings. Hidden sin will bring defeat, for it gives the accuser right of passage into our lives to wreak havoc and to bring us down. That is why God had us come to a point last week where we dealt with just mold and mildew on the walls of our lives. Little things. Things that we may have brought into our homes. Let me repeat something for you. If in doubt, chuck it out. I've suggested to Pastor Paul that you should get a big old box. Now, I understand you can't have a burn-a-thon here. Now, in Pastor Ron Furnio's church and in Dan Garvin's church, we were able to get a big 44-gallon drum and we put it out in the church backyard and we had a glory old time. We burned things. We danced around the old drum. We had an awesome time. There was another time at a certain place where we did that and we discovered that audio tapes and videotapes burn rather nastily. In fact, the flames got so big and the fumes got so bad and the smoke got so thick that the neighbors called the fire brigade, which was a shame because we were having a great old time. Next thing you know, there's flashing lights and siren, and next thing the boys turn up and their hoses rush out and our big old fire got put out. So we just dug a hole and buried those things. I want to encourage you again, if there are things in your home that you have inadvertently brought in, innocently in most cases, you've got to understand there are things, and we talked about this last week, that are a gateway to the spirit realm that's giving them legal right of access into your lives and into your homes. If you're unsure, get the church leadership to come through your home. In most cases, just if in doubt, chuck it out. Do not sell it on eBay. Do not give it to your relatives. Do not give it to your enemies. Do not shove it in the neighbor's doorpost. Just bury it if you can't burn it. Or bring it along to the church and we'll have a good old-fashioned big old box or a bin or something. And you just, symbolically throw it in there and the church leadership will take it upon themselves to make sure that these objects are got rid of. My point is this, is that things like that and little sin give legal right of access by the devil into our lives. And tonight is a night of putting our feet on the neck of them. Understand, the devil comes to you because of who he is, but he stays because of who you are. Let me say that again. The devil comes to you because of who he is. He is the accuser of the brethren. He is a liar and a thief, and he comes to you because of who he is, but he gets to stay because of who you are. And tonight's about rising up and putting our feet upon the neck of some kings in our lives. When we read of all the things that are put under the Lord's feet, it means that all are brought under his authority and his lordship. And so you, the believer, have control over your flesh. Every thought must be brought into obedience of Christ. Some of you, part of the problem is you've got stinking thinking. And it needs to be brought under the covering of Christ. You need to put your feet on the neck of some of these thoughts. Men, it is just a thing. The enemy will attack the minds of the men. And sometimes I understand what it's like. You can be walking along, driving along, going about your work, and suddenly things will come into your mind. You'll think, good night, where did that come from? Well, it came from the enemy. But the Bible says whatever is good and whatever is pure and whatever is excellent, these things think upon. And if you'll just begin to rise up and say, I reject that, I resist that in Jesus' name, then he will flee. He will back off. And tonight, for some of you, it's about taking your thought life, taking your imaginations, and putting your feet on the neck of these things in Jesus' name. Squish the life out of them. For we have the victory in Jesus Christ. Perhaps these five kings could be called almost anything in our lives. They could be King Lust. They could be King Pride. They could be King Temper. They could be called King Envy. They could be called King Drink or King Smoking or King Sickness or King Depression. Whatever it is, but tonight we need to put our feet upon the neck of them. And the question to you is, do you have your feet on the neck of these kings in your life? Do you need to deal with some of these things? The Bible tells us, do not let sin reign. Do not let sin reign in our mortal bodies. We're encouraged to learn in the Bible to walk in the Spirit, and that the fruit of doing so, one of them is self-control. And some of you, that's your biggest issue, just a lack of self-control tonight. Let's put our feet on the King of that which causes you to lack self-control. Jesus said, abide in me. Whoever abides in me sins not. A part of the whole thing of coming into the river of his presence is the longer you soak, the wetter you get, the more he begins to change, the greater you begin to have control over these areas in our lives. If you are truly to be the light and the salt in this community that God is calling you to be, if you are to truly be that example and to fulfill all that God has for you, you've got to walk in victory. You've got to have dominion over these areas and over these temptations. And tonight, we're going to put our feet once and for all on the neck of these things. As a church, as a combination of churches that have come here together, there'll be things you need to put your feet on so you can rise up and take the promised land. This land is yours for the taking. God wants Britain to be great again. And he's causing Christians and churches all around this nation to begin to rise up, to take what is rightfully theirs. I think that's one of the reasons why God has just taken this from a healing mission to something far bigger and far greater. Because he intends a great light to be in this place in the midst of darkness. And you alone are going to decide how bright, how strong, how effective this light is going to be. This whole story of Joshua and his captains is a significant story. That crossed into the land, that had some major victories, they had had breakthrough, that had the supernatural happen. All these things you have experienced. And then finally, these last five kings. And he deals with them summarily. It was an object lesson for his captains and for the rest of the nation, actually. It wasn't an act of being barbaric. It wasn't an act of viciousness. It was a symbolic thing that they were under their feet and then off with their heads. And tonight, we're going to put our feet on the neck of a few kings. I want you to stand in his presence, if you will. There are some areas that many of you know are kings. And the danger of leaving them hiding away in the cave, the danger of if Joshua had left these kings hiding in the caves, they would eventually come out, rally an army around them, and rise up again against the nation of Israel. And so it is with us. that if we don't deal summarily, finally, with some of these areas in our lives, they will rise up and they will consume you and they will pull you down. And I think this 50th night is an important night, a night of finally putting our feet on the neck of some areas of weaknesses, of sin, of habits, of ongoing issues, whether it be healing, whether it be emotional, whether it be spiritual, just areas that you know. They're kings in your lives. You've had breakthrough in other areas. You're walking quite well with God. You're in a good place with God, but you know that there are some kings. And they've been put into the cave for a while. Now is the time to take them out of the cave and put your feet on their necks. They be dealt with once and for all. What I'm going to do in a moment is I'm going to pray. I'm going to ask the Holy Spirit to do exactly what you have prayed just 35 minutes ago, actually. You're going to pray, I'm going to pray that He's going to speak to your hearts. And the Holy Spirit's going to begin to show you some areas that are kings in your life. Some of you will know right now what they are. You'll know what they are. And you'll need to come up here tonight, and I'll let you know in advance what's going to happen. We are going to symbolically stamp on these things. We're going to put our feet on their necks. Crunch. We'll see them cut off forevermore. That you might move into the fullness of what God has for you individually and corporately. Do not leave these kings in the cave any longer. Do not leave them there. They will rise up and rob you of the victory and the ground you've taken thus far. Do you understand this? Do you see this picture? Tonight's your chance. Tonight's your night. On this Jubilee meeting, on this 50th meeting, to finally put our feet on the neck of some of these kings that you're aware that are tucked away there. Let's pray. I'm going to ask everybody to close your eyes. I do that because I have Nick quietly walking around taking everything out of your purses. No, not really. It's because you just need a moment to hear God speak to you and not be distracted. Time of personal introspection. You need to hear God speak unto you. There are some kings. There's some strong men. And it's not that you are not in a good place with God. You are. And you've had victory. You've moved into some of the promised land, just as Israel had, but there were some kings. It's worth noting that He put them in the cave and locked them away for a while and carried on and completed the routing of the enemy. Then they came back and finally dealt with these kings. So it is with us. And the sad thing is if you, after this night, if you don't move forward, if you don't keep coming and being a part of what God's doing, then all that we've accomplished and all that you've gained, the ground you've gained, and even the standing on the necks of the kings will be for naught, will be for nothing. It's about running with what God's doing. If you have an ear to hear the word of God unto you this night. Father, I've discharged that which you've given me to share. We see the parallels, O God. And I now ask you, Holy Spirit, to come. Come and begin to speak to their hearts. Speak to their hearts, Lord, about compromise. Speak to their hearts, Lord, about kings. They're being tucked away in the cave for a time such as this. Breakthrough has happened, Lord. We've moved into a new land. We've come into new territory, Lord. We're at 50 meetings and we're continuing on, believing for more, crying out for an open heaven. But tonight, Lord, at this all-important juncture, we come back now to bring these kings out of the cave that we might put our feet on the neck of them. Holy Spirit, speak to their hearts about these kings. Lord, that none would escape this night, that all would be put under the feet. That tonight, their heads would be chopped off. Victory. Holy Spirit, speak to their hearts. Speak to their hearts, Holy Spirit, about these kings. Speak to their hearts. He's speaking to you about just these kings. You'll know what they are. For some, it'll be a tendency just every now and then you just go back to the old ways. We need to put our feet on the neck of that that causes you to do that. Speak to them, Holy Spirit. Speak to them. Speak to them, Holy Spirit. To people listening to this CD, now is your moment. Even now, as you listen to this message, the Holy Spirit is going to bring areas to your mind, kings, strong men. And even as you listen to this message, be it in your home or wherever you are, you're going to need to stomp on them. If you're driving, don't stomp on the accelerator. Pull over. If you're driving and you're listening to this, pull over. You're going to need to stomp on something. If you're listening to this streaming on the internet, right at this moment, you need to take those things. You're going to need to stomp on them in Jesus' name in a moment. It may help you to write some of these kings down if you want. And you can stomp and jump all over the piece of paper, if that will help. It's symbolic, but as it is in the natural, so it will be in the spiritual. Speak to them, Holy Spirit. Speak to them. Kings, strong ones, things that keep pulling you back, keep rising up from time to time. Areas you've been hesitant to address, because you've not been sure whether you'd have would have success. You've not been certain that you would conquer. I tell you tonight, by faith, you stand on the neck of these things. The victory has been won. He has overcome the world. He has overcome the evil one. He has overcome hell and death and sickness. He has overcome. And he has risen again. All you have to do is pull this old king out and stand on his neck, and God will do the rest. See, it's a faith action for you. But you do your part, and by faith, God will do the rest. Speak to them, Holy Spirit. Speak to them. Thank you, Lord. Tonight is significant. If there's anybody that needs paper and pen, pastors, can I have some help here? You raise your hand, we'll get a pad, a piece of paper to you, a pen to you. You might want to write these things down. You might want to jump on them. That's fine. If you're a smoker and you want to give up smoking, then bring out that old packet. We'll jump on it. You'll never be able to light up again. There may be some things you just need to write down. We're not going to look at it, and you can walk out with the paper afterwards. It's going to be a little grubby and dirty because you're going to put your feet on them. Just make yourself known to the leaders. They've got pads here. They'll give you a sheet of paper. They'll give you a pen. If you don't need the paper, that's fine. For some, it's just a part of the what's going to be needed to be done. But tonight, if we don't put our feet on the neck of some of these kings, you're going to have problems moving into the fullness of the promised land. We have the victory. Just by faith. There is, listen to me, there is no illness that he cannot deal with. There is no temptation that he cannot deal with. There is no situation relationally, as far as relationships or family is concerned, that he cannot bring reconciliation and deal with. There's no long-standing thing, no matter how long it's been in your life, that he cannot deal with. There is nothing, nothing impossible for him. When Christ declared on the cross, "It is finished," it was everything. It was not a matter of "it is finished" except for depression. It wasn't a matter of "it is finished" except for lust. It was finished. Everything. It was dealt with on the cross. It's just time we put our feet on the neck of them and understand that our Joshua, our captain, our leader, dealt the death blow. We just got to deal now with a few kings. I know this is different, but then every night's been different, hasn't it? Now, it's not important whether you write them down or not. What is important that in your heart, in your mind, you're taking these kings, these strong ones, and you're going to put your feet on them in a moment. And when you do, we will blow the shofar. We will shout the shout of the redeemed. And these things are going to be dealt with in Jesus' name. Get ready, get ready. Get ready, get ready. Ooh. Get ready, get ready. Ooh. There's no disease that he cannot deal with. You just got to get ready. You just got to be prepared to put your feet on the neck of them once and for all. And appropriate. That's a fancy word. It just means you take a hold of, you own, you accept, you receive the work that Jesus did. Get ready, get ready. Now come, come quickly. Come into the river, come quickly, come. This is the moment. This is the moment. Come, come, come. Get up here quick. Get up here quick. Get up here with that list. Get up here with that illness. Get up here with that sickness. Get up here with those kings. Quickly, quickly. See, tonight we're going to deal with these kings. We're going to deal with these areas. So you can take the rest of the promised land, the rest of what God has for you. You take that king or those kings, and you've written it on paper. You need to put it down where your feet are and get ready, get ready. For he is here, he is here. Your king might be as simple as doubt. Just doubt, just concern, doubt, fear. Fear of what lies ahead, fear of the consequences of decisions, fear of making decisions. It may be as simple as that, but it's a king. What next, Holy Spirit? If you have not written the things down, but you have them in your heart and your mind at the moment, I want you to take your hands as if they were a cup. Get ready, get ready. You take those kings. You're taking them out of the cave. You're taking these areas, sin and weakness and habit, doubt and fears, illnesses. And you're going to do what the others have done with their piece of paper. In a moment, you're going to put them by your feet. Ooh, get ready. We're going to deal with some kings tonight. And then, oh, we're going to celebrate. We're going to celebrate. Get ready. Father, tonight by faith, because of the completed work on the cross of Jesus, for you have overcome the world, you have overcome sin, you have overcome illnesses. And Lord, we accept that, we believe that, we receive that. And tonight, oh God, we take these kings, we take them out of the cave, we take them out of the past. And tonight, oh God, we put them at our feet. And Lord, by faith, tonight we're going to stand on the necks of these kings. Get ready.